It is 27 minutes after the hour. It's a Transcendent Tuesday, the 2nd of January. And Dr. Don Clark joins us from Garden Valley. Don is a member of the Board of Creation Moments and a biochemist by profession, by vocation, and lots of years in pharmaceuticals. And we've been, Don, I know I mentioned this before, but you've been with us now for 10, 11 years, something like that. And we started out doing Genesis and creation stories and still touch on that again, because you cannot let that disappear. You got to have that in front of you. And you're one of the foremost teachers in Genesis that I've seen. But because of you're a biochemist, We've dabbled in, especially with COVID, with CO2 and all kinds of scientifically related things to vaccines and shots and so forth. We've covered a lot of science, in short, over the last 10 years. And today's no exception. We've got a couple of articles we're dealing with here today. One is from Dr. Malone, who's been he's, I guess, primarily a podcaster now. And he's a medical doctor. He's had a whole lot to say about both the areas of science generally and COVID and vaccines specifically. But I want to, he's talking today about the distortion of science. And I want to give you a little story from my own history here. Back in college days, I was a political science major, and I was working as a kind of a work-study program in the political science department, and the professor had me researching old newspaper articles on police stories from the 19th century to begin with, an early 20th century. But I can't read newspapers without being distracted. I was distracted by the ads. And back in the 30s, there was a plethora of cigarette advertising. And I read this one with interest because I'm a big baseball fan. And this was a comment, a direct quote from Joe DiMaggio, star outfielder for the New York Yankees in those days. And he was talking about the brand of cigarettes he prefers. And he added the thought, "And it doesn't steal my wind," which meant it doesn't affect his breathing. And my first thought was, my first thought was, now this is the 1970s when I'm doing this stuff. And the tobacco controversy was very much front page news, and the misinformation, disinformation, outright lies propagated by the tobacco industry. And I'm saying, yeah, right, Joe, how much did they pay you to say that disinformation from the tobacco industries? So this is nothing new. When they also make strange claims about CO2 and climate change and vaccines, mod RNAs or mRNAs, or what is it that they're shooting into us, we have reason to be suspicious about all this. So I ask you this, is it possible for science to be politically relevant and still be science?
Well, if it's unbiased, that is the main concern here, is that science has for a long time, especially in the medical areas, pharmaceutical areas, as we've learned now with COVID and the COVID vaccines. It's interesting that you pulled up a article from Robert Malone, because he was kind of a lone wolf in saying, when Fauci was saying, "Oh, this was a natural strain that came from the bats. It wasn't produced in a laboratory." And Robert Malone back then, several years ago now, wrote a big article like he did here, but it was all on the lies that were being told by the government, in that there was sufficient evidence, more than sufficient evidence, to say that the COVID-19 virus was actually produced in the laboratory, and the information that was being spread was false information. Much like in the tobacco world 50 years ago, or more than 50 years ago, but the tobacco industry was quite successful in curbing public opinion against tobacco, and they did that 50 years before the legislation actually came through.
Well, what struck me about that ad is people, the public, knew smoking was bad for you from their own direct experience with it. They didn't need to be told, but the industry maintained the ruse that it was even good for you.
That it was even good for you, and they prolonged which now on the cigarette packages of saying that, you know, cigarette smoking may cause cancer. So it's this collusion, the skewing of science because of government influence, either positively or negatively. In most cases now, it's negative because the government wants a certain narrative, and if you don't go along with the government narrative, or let's say you're an academic, and here's an academic scientist, and since we're talking about carbon dioxide is one of the topics, you're doing research on atmospheric carbon dioxide and its effects on various things, and you come up with a positive article that says that, hey, you know, the more carbon dioxide there is in the atmosphere, it doesn't cause climate change. Indeed, it helps plants grow. And a matter of fact, it's beneficial for the environment. And so we need to be producing more carbon dioxide to get to have more plants grow. And if you tried to publish that, or at least get funding for your, if you were successful in publishing it, you would not be funded for anything else, because the government narrative is that CO2 is bad and we need to limit the amount of CO2. And matter of fact, we need to cut back the levels of CO2. And so you wind up not being able, you're in the field of atmospheric research, and now you can't do any research because you don't have any funding. And the whole game in academia is you better publish or you perish. And so ultimately you may wind up losing your job because you can't get any funding for your research.
There's a difference I'd like to make here between the tobacco issue and the CO2 issue, though. With tobacco, there were generations, hundreds of years of smoking experience by the average man and woman at some point, and they knew it was unhealthy. And so the industry, the tobacco industry, could only maintain the fiction for so long until the government clamped down on it and instituted some regulations. But when you come to carbon dioxide or COVID, the experience is harder to identify personally, although now we've got a couple of years of history with vaccines and boosters, and the public is beginning to see what it did and what it didn't do. Is it possible now that we can deal with the truth of the matter and not the fantasy that was perpetrated by both pharmaceuticals and government agencies?
Well, more and more articles, at least if you're talking about COVID and the vaccine, more and more articles are coming out. And the Epoch Times is, publishing a lot of articles over the past several months now of the negative effects of the vaccine and how we've been basically duped in trying to believe that, oh, these vaccines actually work and, oh, they're not harmful to you. And now we're seeing all kinds of harmful effects from the vaccines. And so information is getting out there, but not everybody, is looking at that information, because the you've got the mainstream media that is still kind of boycotting, if you will, true information about the vaccines. And you still have the government, still promoting vaccines, and vaccines are good for you, when indeed the more we learn about them, the worse, that the vaccines are for you. So we've got this dichotomy of, and so The situation that we have today is far different than it was back in the tobacco years, as you had mentioned, obviously, in that there has been so much cross-pollination, if you will, between the pharmaceutical pharmaceutical companies, but it doesn't have to be that, because it also happened in the ag chem industry years and years ago with Monsanto and the FDA. You've got cross-pollinization between these large chemical companies or these large pharmaceutical companies and the FDA, and the large pharmaceutical companies hiring people out of the FDA to head up their regulatory departments, and the FDA hiring people from the pharmaceutical companies to review the information from the pharmaceutical companies. Now, if that's not a conflict of interest, I don't know what is. But this is the situation that we have today, that money and is driving the wagon here, is pushing the train, or however you want to say it. And true science is not coming out. I mean, we were told, for example, with the vaccines, that these vaccines are 98% effective. Well, where did that number come from? It's like the difference between two or three people in a small clinical trial where not many people got sick. So it was stretching the point and emphasizing, in quote, the positive, while de-emphasizing the information that they were getting back on the safety, that says, there might be some heart issues with this vaccine, but we're going to sweep those under the rug. So, the pharmaceutical companies, at least Pfizer and the bigger ones, knew that there could be some potential big issues with this, with these vaccines, but they didn't publish them. The FDA didn't protect us like they're supposed to. And what we have is a commingling of the pharmaceutical companies and the federal government, our protecting agencies. And the result is the only people that get hurt are the public, of course. And money keeps being spent on these things that are actually harmful for us.
I put the
as well as regulations. If you recall the protocols coming out of the NIH how to treat COVID, for example, there's big article in the Epoch Times today about those protocols caused the death of people in hospitals.
The medical industry itself caved and changed to go along with the narrative. And that's profoundly disturbing. I put a link in the chat window at brokenroadradio.com to this Dr. Robert Malone's article on the manipulation of science, the distortion of science. It's fairly long, but it's an excellent article, and it's pertinent to everything we're talking about today. Lately, there have been rumblings in the news from the CDC and the FDA and various government agencies about the rise in cases of flu, the influenza that is, and RSV, and COVID. And there, like California has just reinstituted a mask mandate in public buildings, in hospitals, in schools, and churches of all places. Yeah. And they want us to do it all over again. Are we smarter now?
Well, I hope so. I mean, it's just people aren't getting the information. That's the problem. The mainstream media is also part of this whole scenario, and they're not publishing or at least reporting on the negative effects of the vaccine. So you get this hysteria that keeps happening over and over again. Now, that is also driving a political agenda, which is behind all of this, of course. We know, at least some of us know, that there is a political agenda around this. And ultimately, the whole the whole vaccine thing and the mask wearing and the protocols in the hospitals and all of these things were testing the system to see if people would go along with what the government was saying. Now, it didn't matter whether the government was right or not. In this case, they were extremely wrong in causing harm to people. But they did learn that people, when they get scared, they will do just about anything, even if it doesn't make sense. Now, what didn't make sense to me from the very beginning was wearing these masks that, you know, have a pore size, which are... like you're taking a mosquito and you're going, you know, the mosquito is the virus, and you're putting on a mask, which is like a chain link fence. And guess what? That mask is not going to stop that mosquito. You know, you need mosquito netting. But if you wore mosquito netting for the virus, you wouldn't be able to breathe.
So, well, I hear these mask mandates now going on in various parts of the country, and they don't mention, they don't talk about the effectiveness of masks. They just assume that you'll accept this because a mask is a mask is a mask, and it worked before, and it's got to work again. That's untrue. It never worked.
Well, not only did it never work, it was actually harmful. I mean, it was harmful to kids because they couldn't socialize properly, because you got to see the face, you got to see, you know, people smiling or crying or whatever, and that blocked all of that. Not to mention that when you wear a mask, you're breathing germs. One of the ways that your body gets rid of viruses and bacteria is you breathe it out. So if you're wearing a mask, guess where all those germs are going? They're going into the mask, which you then breathe back in. So how effective do you think your body is going to be able to fight a continual re-inoculation of the disease that you're trying to get rid of? It's not going to be very effective at all, and your symptoms are going to go on much longer than had you not worn a mask. Now, if you're sneezing and you're coughing, I mean, we used to just cover our mouths and, you know, we told our kids, hey, you need to turn away from people when you sneeze, and don't sneeze on people or don't cough on people. That's how we handled that in the past, and that was actually quite effective. And, you know, wash your hands and, you know, when there are illnesses going around, everybody needs to wash their hands. And we taught kids how to wash their hands and how to stay clean. All that went out the window, and the directive was you got to wear a mask. If you want to buy food, you better wear a mask. And then, you know, in some places, in Europe, for example, if you want to buy food, you have to be vaccinated, and you have to show proof of vaccination to even come into the store. So that is forcing people to do a government mandate, all to see, one, I believe, if they would do it. And if they did, then the government knew that, hey, we can control people. And after all, that is the ultimate goal, is for the government. We need, in order to control people, you need larger government, right? I mean, everybody's not going to go along.
You need security cameras everywhere.
You need security cameras, and ultimately you need a global government, especially if it has to do with global issues, mm-hmm. like either a pandemic or carbon dioxide, right? I mean, you need a global government to control it. You can't get away with just local governments taking care of it, because you can't guarantee that all the local governments are going to do the same thing. So we're going to force it down from the global governance, and that's how we're going to wind up controlling everybody on the planet.
Well, and again, I guess they've gotten smarter than the people who put the globalists, because for a person to understand CO2, its positive side, its negative side, if there is a negative side, and the same thing with vaccines and bacteria and viruses, we don't know as lay people what to believe until it comes from a trusted source. And if there are no trusted sources, we're kind of out on a limb here. We are easily victimized. But now that we've had a large go-round with COVID, I think to reinstitute lockdowns or mask mandates or mandatory vaccines is going to fall flat. There's beginning to be a reaction to that, because I think the CDC and the NIH and the WHO and all those three-letter acronyms have shredded their own credibility with the first round of COVID.
I wonder
Go ahead, David.
That's all right. I wonder if there's, and you know, and I think that these kinds of conditions, where the large central government has kind of pushed and shoved its way and told us what to do, what to think, and where to go, and all the rest of that stuff. I think that's not something that's brand new. I mean, I think back to the Vietnam years, back to World War I, II, back to the recruitment efforts, back to a number of different things that were sponsored by large governments. And I wonder if there's not something that we, the people, could do to prevent that from happening again in the future. I'm not sure what it would be. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm working on a series of announcements for the Convention of States, and I'm thinking along those lines. I mean, is there somewhere, somehow, the people of Europe are further down the road to this top-down government telling you what to do all the time? It seems to me that we've got maybe a finger hold of the possibility of being able to control our own destiny yet. I'm not sure.
Well, I would say that the first thing that we can do is help to assure that we put regulations in the place. I'm not one for more regulations, but I am more for limiting the government's power. Mm-hmm. And right. What your legislatures have to do is limit the ability for a governor, for example, or for our federal government to say, "Oh, this is an emergency." Because right. once you've called it an emergency, then all normal rules and regulations get thrown out the window, and the government can do anything they want. And we need to limit that, not only in time frame, but also limit the ability to do things that absolutely don't make sense. Mm-hmm. And so that would be, in my opinion, the first place to start. And some states have been looking at this as to, gee, you know, the governor said that this is, or well, the president, you know, said this is, we're only going to lock down for 2 weeks. Well, 2 weeks turned into months, and months turned into a very long time. And so, you know, we need to put time limits, and also what the government can actually do without going to our legislatures or the people that we voted for to put into office and saying, hey, if I want to do this as a governor, then, you know, I need to get legislation approval for this particular protocol or whatever it is I want to put into place.
I think we're talking the judicial system, David, and Dr. Don both, mm-hmm. because it's apparent that Congress doesn't have the fortitude to make hard decisions, and we're kind of relying more than ever on such bodies as the Supreme Court. And of course, that's the next target of opportunity for all the globalists out there, is to water down the effect of courts. So at some point, I'm really despairing that we can achieve what you've just described, Dr. Don, because there'll be no tools left other than...
Yeah, I don't think the Supreme Court is the last refuge either. I think the last refuge is putting amendments into the Constitution. Now, the Supreme Court has gone off the rails so much over the last 40 or 50 years, specifically. There's a researcher by the name of Rob Nadelson that's written a series of articles for Epoch Times entitled How the Supreme Court Rewrote the Constitution. Now, I haven't read them yet, but I've got a feeling. I know I've read other things that that Dr. Nadelson has written, and he is right on the money. He knows where the problem is. The problem lies in a large central government that's taken over.
So the solution has to come from the people.
Yes, it does.
It's the only place. Mm-hmm. It's the last refuge.
I'm convinced of that. Yeah. Yes. Mm. Yep. I'm convinced of that. And that it means elections. That means taking of the rightful place of in our system of government for the people that the control that they have. They've lost it.
Mm. Well, and here's part of the problem. I mean, here is one of the main problems right now is that the media is not only biased, but is controlled by one party, mm-hmm. which happens to be the central government party, right? I mean, and so people can't even be informed correctly because the media is not doing their job. They're just regurgitating what the government wants them to say.
Well, I think people are starting to react to the media dilemma as well. So hopefully there's some solutions on the way as people get informed and rise up and start talking to each other and attending school district meetings and city council meetings and working with their state legislatures. It's got to come from the people. It's got to come from the people. Dr. Don, again, a member of the board of Creation Moments, their website, creationmoments.com, and there you will find a reservoir of information, scientific information about the biblical story of creation. And as speaking as a member of the public, I would suggest that we all maybe open to the book of Genesis today. And there's hope there. There's hope in that whole story. And a visit to creationmoments.com might be a nice assist for you in realizing that someone else is actually in charge here. And it's going to be okay. Don, thanks so much. Appreciate what you brought us today. I don't know if we solved it, but we sure worried it to death.
I think it's on the ropes.
Well, hopefully we shown some light on some of the issues.
I think so. Don, we'll look forward to next week with you, okay?
Okay.